Recorded Books presents All the Truth I Can Stand by Mason Stokes, narrated by Tom Picasso. A quote by Hilary Mantel. History is not the past. It is the method we have evolved of organizing our ignorance of the past. Prologue. They took his shoes. Not that they needed to, since he wasn't going anywhere, but with his hands tied behind his back. His head was caved in several inches. His face was covered with blood, the only clean spots the tracks made by his tears. When they found him, the cop thought he was 13, not the 19 he really was. He was that small. I wasn't even there. But I can't stop seeing it. The butt of that pistol coming down again and again on his beautiful face. But here's the thing. Those people who think they know what happened, they have no idea. Before. September through October, 1998. Chapter 1. The first time I saw him, he was riding a big, fake horse. I was mostly interested in the horse. It was for the university's production of Oklahoma, and my dad had gotten me on the stage crew. He was looking for a way to get me out of my bedroom, back into the world, as he put it. He wasn't wrong. I was spending a lot of time in my bedroom. It was the only place where I could just be, you know. Not have to pretend that everything was okay when it wasn't. I helped make the horse. It looked good, fake, but in an obvious way, like you were supposed to know it was fake. I didn't notice the guy on the horse until he started singing. It was the first song from the show, the one where the male lead, Curly, is singing about what a beautiful morning it is, how the meadow shimmers in the early light, and the corn is as tall as the sky. His voice, light and soaring, like a swallow, pulled my attention from the horse to him. He was wearing blue jeans and a plaid shirt, with a bolo tie around his neck. His hat was at least a couple of sizes too big, and he kept pushing it up so he could see where he was going. He finally got frustrated with the hat and threw it into the fake corn, stage right, and it was only then that I could see his face. It was small, like the rest of him, but there was something in his eyes that was big, like he had something inside of him that was bigger than he was. His hair was dirty blonde, and it glimmered in the stage lights. I guess people would have called him cute, which was going to be a problem for the production since cowboys aren't really supposed to be cute. I imagine rugged is more what you're going for with a cowboy, and this kid was far from rugged. But there he was, as Curly, riding his fake horse, singing about how everything was going his way. His 100-watt smile made you want to believe that there was nothing out there on the shimmering meadow but beauty and goodness and possibility. But there was something in his voice that made you doubt the smile, if only for a second. Just a hitch, maybe. The tiniest crack. But it was enough to suggest that he knew that beauty and goodness were as fake as the horse. The possibility was the last thing you should ever hope for. "His name's Shane," a voice behind me said. I turned to find a girl, older than me, maybe 19 or 20, long dark hair hanging like curtains around her face. "What?" I said, flustered. "Shane," she repeated. "The guy you've been staring at?" I wasn't staring. My face felt hot. The girl raised an eyebrow. "The horse," I said, trying to recover. "I helped make the horse." "Real lifelike." "It's not supposed to be lifelike. It's supposed to be like..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?